Good afternoon, Key Point Church. How are you? Come on, y'all doing well? All right, come on. I need a little excitement today. Come on, it's Sunday. It's fun day, and we in the house of God. I'm telling you, I'd rather be here than the best hospital money can buy. Amen? All right. Well, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to continue in our message series, For the Good. Romans chapter 8, and then I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 3. Romans chapter 8, then we'll get to 2 Kings at the end of the message. I want to talk to you this morning, or actually this afternoon, about tracing God when you can't trust God. How to trace God. Everybody say trace. How to trace God when you can't trust God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for teaching us today how to trust you when we can't trace you. How to still keep going when we can't understand, when what we see is not matching up with what we desire. And God, we give you all the glory. And today you're going to help us with this thing called trust. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Several years ago, I was giving some biblical counsel, some guidance to a gentleman who was struggling with trust. He had dealt with some relational issues in a marriage and with a friend, and he trusted no one. Come on, raise your hand if you trust no one. All right, no, I'm kidding. Don't raise your hand, all right? But he trusted no one, and he was trying to trust God. He was new in his relationship with God. He was in love with God and couldn't believe that he was saved, but he was just grappling with this whole trust thing because, you know, trust is the foundation of Christianity, right? Right? We are trusting and we have faith in a God we don't even see, in an eternity that we're going to one day. It's a big thing. And you can tell he was struggling with this. I could tell that his previous context in life and the history of his life was not providing for him the foundation to trust God. And I had to help him understand it. And as I was going through the scripture, he stopped me and he said, PC, listen, I get all this stuff. I get it, but let me ask you a question. I said, okay, all right. Here's the question he asked me, and it kind of struck me. He said, how do I trust God when it doesn't seem like he's working in my life? And I totally understood what he meant because I, in my mind, was thinking, God, you really need to help this guy because he needs you in a big way in his life, in his path. He needs you. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know what? You may be right because I'm having a hard time seeing God working in your life after all that you just told me. And I began to show him some scripture, and I believe he turned the corner, but there's a lot of different layers to that question based upon where you grew up. In fact, more than half of this church we have found didn't even grow up in church. A lot of you are new to God and stuff, and this whole trust thing is like, yeah, I'm learning how to trust God. Well, I want to take the next few moments today and hopefully, with the help of the Holy Spirit, teach you how to trust God when you can't trace him, when you can't trace it. And in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul knew something, I believe, that caused him to have this conviction that went beyond just saying something flippantly. He wasn't just writing Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, which is our context scripture. He wasn't just writing this scripture to hope maybe one day that we will buy into the idea that all things works for the good. Now, I want you to look at it with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. If you don't have your Bible, that's all right. You can look at the screen. He says these words, and we know that all things, how many things? All things, not a majority, not 75% or 80 or 90 or 99%, but all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He wrote this with conviction. He wrote this because he trusted God during the days, and they were many, when he couldn't trace him. And it was because of his experiences that led him to a place, regardless of what was happening to him, where he could literally say with confidence and conviction, I can trust God. He can take all things. I want you to keep reading in verse 31. Verse 31, he says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he goes on in verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? Nope. Hardship? Nope. Persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Absolutely not. And the reason why the Apostle Paul could say that with conviction is because he experienced it. And while he was experiencing all the famine and nakedness and rejection and imprisonment, he was still experiencing the presence of God. He still could trust God. He said no in all these things. In all these things. Verse 37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. He's referring to all these bad things. It's easy to put all the good things together and say, yeah, I'm more than a conqueror. But it's another whole thing to be able to stack all the bad things and say, I'm more than a conqueror. The reason why he was able to say that is because he knew that Jesus gave him the victory. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything. See, he's using that all-encompassing word again. Anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So how do I today trust God when I can't trace him? Write these three things down. The first one is we've got to learn how to recall the past. It's got to be a part of our daily routine, recalling the past. And I want you to look on the screen in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. I want to read this because God gives an instruction to his people about recalling the past. And this is what he says. In the future, when your son asks of you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Here's what I want you to tell him. Here it is. He said, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. We're going to recall the past. We weren't even our own property. We were slaves to Pharaoh, but because of God's mighty hand, he delivered us. So whenever your son or your daughter comes to you and says, Dad, why do we serve God like this? Why do we have all these laws and stipulations and decrees? You'll be able to say, oh, because let's recall the past, because we used to not even be our own. We didn't even have the liberty to worship our own God. We were slaves, but God set us free. Verse 22, he says, before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised. And what God is saying to us today is don't forget what God has done in your life. I know that sounds very simple and elementary, but I believe a lot of Christians fail to realize how good God has been to them. And some of you have got it figured out, and to that I say, great job. The Holy Spirit led you to that, all right? But some of us struggle. We go from day to day wondering, God, where are you? Why aren't you helping in my life? I can't trust you because it doesn't seem like you're working in my life, when in fact, he's been very, very good to you. And if you're having trouble spotting the goodness of God in your life, let me help you a little bit this morning, all right? First and foremost, you woke up this morning. Come on, somebody. You picked your legs up out of bed. You put your feet down. You put your bed shoes on, your house shoes on. You stumbled through the darkness. You got to your coffee pot. You made your favorite cup of coffee. You sat down in your chair. You either read the Bible, you read the news, you watched what the news was saying about Trump, and you are alive. Come on, somebody. That is enough right there to be thankful about the goodness of God. You are alive. You are one piece. Thank God you put a shirt on and spared us the mental image of you without a shirt on. Thank God. Thank God you brushed your teeth this morning. You brushed your teeth. I'm so glad for that. You are alive. You're in one piece. You have a sane mind. And oh, by the way, let me help you with this one. Here's something to be grateful about. God moved and raised you, and you live in Northwest Arkansas. Come on, somebody. I heard it said like this: if I can't live on the beach, then I'd rather live in Northwest Arkansas than any other place in the world. There's no better place to live. I've been all over the world, and I'm telling you, the pace of life that we have here and what we get, this is a great place to live. Here's another one. He saved you. I'm kind of offended right there that no one said amen. He saved you. He saved you. You're saved. Now, this means a lot to me because I got saved years ago when I was 19 years old, and God came and illuminated my life. My heart, I couldn't believe. And for years, I served God religiously, which meant that I thought I was going to heaven, but because I was religiously committed to God, I was doing all the wrong things, thinking I was doing the right things just because I went to church. And I quickly found out just because you go to church doesn't mean you are a Christian. And God saved me. If it had not been for the mercy and grace that God showed in my life, I'd still today would be walking towards a Christless eternity. And friends, listen to me. Hell's real, and people either go to heaven or hell when they breathe their last breath. Let me tell you a very good reason why you need to be thankful about your past, because God saved you if you are saved. Come on, somebody, say amen right there. Amen? Thank you. You are saved. Let us never get to a place where we lose the illumination and the power of God's salvation in my life. It is the largest miracle known to man for you to give your heart to Jesus. Wow, I'm saved. Oh, here's one. God purposed you and designed you with a specific calling in your life. Psalms 139 and verse 16, it says this, that all the days of my life, are recorded in a book before one of them has actually happened. So the same is true with you. God wrote a book about your life before one of them ever happened. And oh, by the way, your book about your life, it's a New York bestseller, okay? God made you perfect. He made you just the way you are. He designed you with a purpose. And also, he will lead you to discover your purpose. So many people still today do not totally understand why God created them. And as Christians, we can. Why would God, think about it, why would God create you and design you and call you for a fantastic and amazing purpose, but yet not ever tell you about it, not ever let you in on it? To me, that would tell me that God's sadistic and he's just playing jokes with me. But that's not who our God is. Not only did he purpose me and design me, but he led me to discover my giftings and my calling in my life. And for that, I am so ever for grateful. Lord, thank you for allowing me to discover my purpose. If you're married, he brought you and your spouse together. Come on, elbow your spouse right now and say, he brought me to you, all right? So good luck, all right? Or deal with it. He led me to marry my wife, Stacy. Thank God. That's enough right there. If that's the only thing that I can recall about the goodness of God in my past, I'm going to tell you right there, I can have a minute Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost pray session right there. I mean, just double clap and just run around the house. That there alone is enough for me to be excited about the goodness of God in my life. Because that woman set me apart. She helped me so much become the man that God has called me to be. If you have children, think about it. He blessed you to have children. Now it's up to you to determine if they're an asset or liability, all right? That's up to you. That's up to you and the grace of God. He got you to Key Point Church today. There's so much we can be thankful to God about in our past. And if we can't find anything to thank him, then I believe we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking in the wrong place. And when I thank him routinely every day, Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my past. I thank you for what you've done in my family. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What I am doing is calling on an attribute of the nature of God, his immutability. Now, they're going to put it on the screen for you, his immutability. Now, this is not a word that's probably in your vocabulary, all right? It's not, all right? But let me explain to you the nature of God when it has to do with his immutability. His immutability simply means that God is unchanging in his character, he's unchanging in his will, and he's unchanging with his covenant promises, all right? Now, let me give you the Cajun version of this word right here. It's really simple. If he did it before, then guess what? He'll do it again. It's really simple. If God healed you of an area in your life in your past, then guess what? He'll do it for you again today. If he brought you out of a dark time of your life where you were in a depressive pit of life and he brought you out and encouraged you, then he will do it for you again. If he delivered you of a weak area of your life, then you know what? He will deliver you again. He will. He's immutable, which means he doesn't change. He's always the same. So if he did it yesterday, he'll do it today. That's why I can trust him. He did it for me then. I know he'll do it for me today. Oh, and then let's throw in the sovereignty of God on this one, just to help you with the goodness of God here and what he's done for you in your past. The sovereignty of God, it simply means that he is supreme. He is above all on this universe, the supreme God. He's not controlled. He's not affected. He's not limited. He's not at a disadvantage. He's not diminished, nor is he weakened by anything that anyone says or by anything that anyone can do. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. Then let's throw in the omnipotence of God. He's all-powerful. What about the omnipresence nature of God? He's everywhere all the time. What about the omniscient power of our Lord? He knows everything about everything, which sometimes scares me. Because if he knows everything about my life, then why would he still love me? But that just blows my mind because he loves me regardless of everything in my life. Amen. And even if I go through a tough situation in my life, and during that moment I'm reminded how I am not omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, it still doesn't change the fact that he is, and he will always be. We've got to make this a daily routine. God, you have been good to me in my past. You have been good to me in my past. You have been good to me in my past. Now, you're sitting in a really cool chair right now, right? I mean, I remember when we bought these chairs, they were awesome. They hook together. They're nice. But let me ask you, have you ever doubted the structure and the integrity of that chair holding you up? Before you sat down in that chair, did you call an usher over and say, hey, come over here, Mr. Usher man. Could you sit down in this chair for me? Because I need you to test it out. Because if you don't test it out first and show me, then I won't be able to trust. Because I'm trying to sit. I want to sit down, but I can't. I just don't trust this chair. You've never doubted the integrity or the structure of any chair. At your home, at a restaurant, at a friend's house, at a hotel, you just trust the chair is going to do what chairs do. Chairs hold people up. So what do? You walk right up to it. You don't even pray. You don't even think about it. I'm trusting in the immutability of this chair. This chair is sovereign. This chair is omnipowerful. This chair is omnipresent. This chair is omniscient. I'm sitting down. Praise God. And if God, listen, if you trust that chair that much, then how much more can you trust God, the God of this universe? Come on, somebody. Either he is God or he's not. Either this thing is real or we're just going to stop having church. And I'm here to tell you, God is real and he wants to do some amazing things in your life. Don't you dare doubt God and not trust him because you can't see him. Honey, you just sit down and trust that God has your back. Amen. He does. It doesn't matter what happens to you, famine, nakedness, sword, it doesn't matter. God is still faithful. review your past. I want you to go home today and write a list down of all the things that God has done in your life. Every little detail and every aspect of your life. It will blow you away, the list that you will put together of the goodness of God in your past. So we're gonna review the past, and then number two, we're gonna recall the promise of the future. We're gonna recall the promises. We're gonna recall what God is going to do. Excuse me, review his promises. We're gonna review. We recall the past. I'm reminding myself that he has been good. Then I'm gonna review his promises over my life, and I'm gonna remind myself that he will be good to me again. Because he's immutable, he can't change. If he was good to me yesterday, then he'll be good to me today. Somebody's getting this down in your spirit today. And you're not gonna be able to view God like you used to. You're gonna see God in a whole different way. Some of you are gonna go from standard definition to high definition in your spiritual walk with God today because of this one position right here. You can trust God because of his promises. Let me read real quick in Lamentations chapter 3. I love this passage because it's Jeremiah professing and reviewing and prophesying the promises of God in his life. Look at it with me on the screen. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. So I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Here he is. He's reviewing the promises of God, talking about his mercy, his faithfulness, his grace. Therefore, I will have hope in him. Because of the nature and the attributes of God, I can trust him. Therefore, I will have hope. The Lord is good to those who depend. There's the trust. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him, who go after him. So it is good to wait quietly for the salvation from the Lord. Jeremiah is saying God is who he says he is. Jeremiah is saying God is who he says he is, and what he says he'll do, he'll complete it. Although I may not feel it right now, although I may not be able to understand it right now, although I can't trace him right now, I choose to trust him. And there's the word, I choose. I choose. It is a choice. I choose to trust him. So if you don't have a promise from God, you can't review it. You can't review this promise. So you need to get you a promise today. When was the last time you sat down with the Holy Spirit and you begin to ask the Lord to speak to you? Lord, give me a promise. There's thousands of promises in this word. Give me a promise for my life. Give me a promise for me personally. Because if I am not encouraged about what you're doing in my life today, I can't encourage my children. I can't encourage my spouse. I can't be the person that you've called me to be. I need a promise. And you seek after God with all your heart. You seek after him because he was faithful to you yesterday. He'll be faithful to you today, amen? And we review those promises. We prophesy those promises over our kids, over our future, over this church. You want to know what this church is? It is a list of promises that I had years ago that I professed and I spoke, and I'm seeing them come to fruition every day that I live. Guess what? I believe God has so much more for this church. I still have promises that have yet to come true, but yet every day I'm reviewing the promises of God. I'm reviewing the promises. I'm reviewing them. God has been good. God is going to be good. Then what's next? Here we go. This is it. We're going to have to respond. Respond accordingly. To what? Respond to what God is telling you to do, even if you can't see him working in your life. Respond accordingly. Be obedient to what God is telling you to do. In 2 Kings chapter 3, look there with me. In 2 Kings chapter 3, there's three kings, and they represent the armies of the living God. They represent three different countries. They come together, and they're going out as a combined group to fight this country, this enemy called the Moabites. Now, on paper, these three kings and their army should easily annihilate the Moabites, easily. But the Bible tells us that these three kings were not leading like they needed to lead. They were not serving God. The Bible says they had done evil in the eyes of the Lord. So here they are on their own, out trying to go fight the enemy. And the Bible says that they marched around for 7 days. So they're marching. We're going to battle. We're going to battle. We're going to go kick Moabite's tail because they're really, really easy. This is not going to be that hard for us. We're going to battle. We're going to battle. And the Bible says they did that for 7 days. They marched around for 7 days, seven times, marching and marching and marching. The number seven in the Bible represents completion. And also the number represents perfection. So I want you to get the picture here. These three kings and their armies, they've done everything that they possibly can. They've in their mind, they've done all they can to complete the task, but yet the enemy was not defeated. In fact, it got worse. The Bible says that they ran out of water. This is not good. We're out here in the desert. We have a lot of mouths. We have a lot of horses and animals and livestock, and we need good quality H2O right here, God, all right? What's the problem here? Did you lead us out here to die and get our tails handed to us when we easily could have beat the Moabites? So what they did next was amazing. They called the prophet. Now, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you had a prophet, and it wasn't New Testament yet, all right? Today, we can go into the presence of God and hear God for ourselves. But in the Old Testament, you called on to the prophet. And the prophet serving at this time was Elijah. So they called Elijah. Hey, Elijah, we're in a tough spot now. We can't trace God. Isn't it funny when you run out of water or you hit a tough time, how you'll quickly run to God? Sometimes I wish we would not be like that. But they call on Elijah. He comes in. I'm reading into it. He probably has a little attitude. What's the problem now? Y'all hadn't been serving God. Now you run out of water. Now you want to serve God? Kind of like a backhanded slap, you know. Please go to God. Tell him to send the rain. We're thirsty. Send the rain. Send the rain. So Elijah, he goes to God. He gets before God. All right, God, here's your people, their army. We've got to beat the Moabites. I know you know what's going on. I'm just reciting it, you know, and just letting you know they're thirsty, all right? God, what do you want me to tell them? Get ready for the rain. Open your mouth up, you know, get their jars ready. You know, what do you want me to tell them? God tells them something I find to be extremely interesting. I want you to look at it with me. In verse 16, it says, Elijah announced, the Lord says, here's what he says. This is what the Lord says. You with me? They got it on the screen. There it is right here. Elijah announced, the Lord says, this is so interesting to me, dig a lot of ditches. What? That's not what we want to hear. We've been walking around here for a long time. We're thirsty now. And now you're telling me to go do something and exert more energy when we're already tired? No. Elijah, go back. Just go like this and do a magic trick and make it rain. That's all we want. No, go dig ditches in the valley. In other words, God was saying, you need to respond accordingly. Sometimes we want God to send the rain, but most of the time what God will tell us to get a shovel and start digging. Let me say it this way. Whenever you can't trace God, the fastest way to begin to trust God is start doing what he told you to do. What do you need to be obedient to? What ditch do you need to start digging today to get ready and be prepared for God to bring the miracle? Is it possible that some of you have thrown down the shovel, maybe on your marriage, maybe on your career, maybe with a child, maybe with a friendship or a business decision, or even yourself? And what the Holy Spirit is saying today, cooperate with me, respond accordingly, pick up that shovel and start digging ditches. Now, I've noticed, and even me, there's times where I don't want to hear that. That's not what I want to hear, God. I want a miracle right now. I don't want to have to work for anything. I don't want to have to do anything else. Dig a ditch. As I close this morning or this afternoon, I want to ask you, what ditch do you need to dig? What is it? Maybe you were digging a ditch and you quit. What is it? We're real good at asking God to send the rain, but some of us are poor at digging ditches. God, heal my marriage. And he responds with, well, then take your wife out to a restaurant where they bring the food to the table, you goofus. God, make my husband love me. And God is saying, well, then stop being so controlling and let him become the man that God has called him to be. And not the person you think he needs to be. Oh, God, I need you to help me financially with this business, and I need raises and bonuses and promotions. Okay, what is God saying? Well, then trust me with what I have already given you. Dig a ditch. Start tithing. Return every month 10% of what you get. And then on top of that, give an offering. Oh, we can come up with excuses. And I'll be the first to say I'm good with excuses. I'm tired, God. My hands are hurting. I don't want to dig. Don't become weary in digging ditches, because in due season, this is a prophetic word for somebody in here, don't get weary. Don't get weary digging your ditch. You respond according to what the Holy Spirit has said to you. You cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You dig through the night, honey. Sir, you keep digging when it doesn't make sense, when you're tired. You keep digging. I can't help to think about that scripture in Psalms 30. Weeping may endure for a night. I guarantee you they were crying when they were digging this ditch. What? Are you kidding me? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Keep digging ditches. And look what the Bible says in verse 20. The next morning, about the time for the offering, the sacrifice, there it was. Water flowing from the direction of Edom. And the land was filled with water. You know what that tells me? God can be trusted. He can. The best way to trust God when you can't trace him is to pick up a shovel and start digging. God, what do I need to do right now in preparation for when the miracle comes? What do I need to do? Your miracle, I think, is being held up because of your lack of response and obedience to what God is telling you to do. Will you bow your heads with me this afternoon as we close? God can be trusted. He can. I want you right now in your heart, I want you to recall your past. And I want you to get real specific about your past. And I want you to recall if you truly got saved. And this afternoon, I want to invite you to salvation. I want to invite you to know that Jesus saved you, to invite him into your life and illuminate you and bring that excitement about salvation. Maybe you had it at one time, but you lost it. I would encourage you to get it back. Why would you go on any longer? I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm talking about salvation. He saved me. And if you can truly and honestly say that, praise God. But I believe there's a few of you in here that wonder, you doubt. And you don't have to wonder or doubt anymore. Why would God send his son Jesus to die on the cross so that you could wonder if you are saved? You can be saved today. Now I want us all to pray this prayer out loud. I want us all to pray this prayer 100% participation in this room. Say it out loud with me. Say, Jesus Christ. Come on, say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to save me. I ask you to change my life. I repent of my sins, and I thank you for changing me. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Illuminate my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Keep your head bowed. Keep your eyes closed. I believe some of you in here needed to respond to that. Based upon your past, salvation has never been that real to you. And maybe for the first time, it has become real to you. I want to ask you right there where you're sitting to do one more thing for me. I'm not going to make you stand up. No one's looking. But if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want you right now to raise your hand around the room. Say, that's me. Yeah, yeah, hands going up everywhere. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you so much. Just raise your hand. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Wow, thank you. Raise your hand. Thank you. Okay, you can put them down. Thank you so much for your honesty. God is going to do something amazing in your heart today. Today, the 19th of November, is the day you got saved. Amen. Now, could I ask you, which real quietly and reverently stand to your feet? And as we close this morning, I want us to return to worship. Pastor Zach's going to lead us in this song. Right there where you're standing, I want you to close your eyes. If you need to respond to this message and lean into trusting in God, right there where you're standing, if you're okay with raising your hands, I ask you to do it. You can put them right there at your side, palms up like this. But raising hands is a universal sign of surrender. And Lord, today, I'm telling you right now, my hands are up, God, because there's an area in my life, Lord, where I'm having a hard time trusting in you, where my expectation and the current reality of my life is not lining up, and there's an expectation gap. And Lord, I need you in that area right there. I need to trust in you, your goodness, your faithfulness, your immutability, your sovereignty. Lord, I need you right now. Come on, just raise up your hands. Come on, just raise up your hands and begin to worship God. Come on, let's sing this song and worship God together this morning. Key Point Church. Come on, let's return to worship. Coming after me. Thank you for your love, your overwhelming love, as it chases us every day, even when we are running from it. Lord, I thank you, your love, it relentlessly pursues me every day, and I'm so grateful for that. Lord, I pray that you do something supernatural in each heart in here. If there's someone doubting your love for them, if there's someone wondering if they're going to be taken care of, Lord, I pray today that they'll know for sure of your faithfulness. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, Key Point Church, put your hands together this afternoon. Come on, let's worship God. Come on. Yeah. Lord, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Woo. Hey, several people raised their hand. It's probably 15 to 17 people that raised their hand for salvation. Will you do this for me? Will you take that conversation card that's right there in the seat back in front of you and fill it out? Let me know, hey, I gave my heart to Jesus. I want to know the next steps, a water baptism, or I want to get involved. I want this thing called salvation to grow in my life. Well, I want to encourage you to allow us to come alongside you and assist you in this relationship. Fill out that conversation card. You can leave them in the gray boxes as you leave. or go to the round table over here in the corner. Our pastors will be back there. Start a conversation today or leave them at guest services. Let us know what's going on. If you need prayer for anything, our altar ministry team's going to be up here. And as we go in a moment, our worship team's going to continue worshiping God. And I would encourage you today to be prayed for if that's what you need, okay? Allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate you. Cooperate. Say, God, I'm going to trust you even when I can't see you. I'm going to trust you even when I can't trace you. Amen? Amen. We love you. We love you. Have a fantastic day. Let's continue worshiping God as we go.